Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is 95.7 The Game, broadcasting live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco in crystal clear FM. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
It's 8:02. We will talk Raiders. Are they poised to take over the AFC West? Lincoln Kennedy going to join the show at 8:30. I'm very happy to go to the phones right now. Our next guest, the voice of your San Francisco 49ers and one of the best broadcasters in the biz, Ted Robinson, joins Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Ted, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's mid-July. We're talking football, huh?
Isn't that nice? I know you're going to be on the call for the Olympics as well. How excited are you, and where do the Olympics rank in terms of sporting events you get to cover?
Well, the Olympics are it's the only global sporting event. I mean, the World Cup probably comes closest, but it's the only global sporting event we have, and for the most part, where the globe gathers in peace. And I hope that's the case this year with all the, we all know what's going on in Brazil. But I'll tell you what, I just spent a week in northern Michigan, where my wife is from, and I tell you what, if I didn't get Zika there, I'm not going to get it in Rio. I am one big giant mosquito welt. So, but it's a spectacular. The Olympics are spectacular, and the best part of it, quite honestly, is when you get a chance to leave your venue for a little bit and bounce around to go to watch a basketball game or a swimming event or water polo or maybe, Usain Bolt run the 100, that kind of thing. When you get to watch that as a spectator, that's incomparable.
Ted, when you look at this upcoming 49ers season, it's my humble opinion here that you either swing for the home run or you should be terrible. Like, if you're a fan, that's what you should want. Either get a very high draft pick or make the playoffs and have a shot at the Super Bowl. With that in mind, there is no doubt for me that Colin Kaepernick should be the quarterback starting week one, regardless of what happens in camp, because I am very confident that the Niners will not make the playoffs if Blaine Gabbert is under center come week one.
Yeah, that's interesting because, there's basically no on-field support for that point. I mean, Colin was just not good last year and was beyond that description. I think I'm being gentle when I say that. And the team, at least what we saw last year, responded better to Gabbert. Now, maybe Colin can repair that, and that would be something that I hope he started to do in minicamp, and he would have, 5 weeks of training camp to try to repair things in the locker room with his team. But that would be the one way. And to be honest, guys, the other thing, this is just blunt, Colin has never competed for the job. Not one day. He never competed for the job when he was the backup. It was Alex Smith's job with no competition. And the day Alex got hurt, the job was given to Kaepernick, and there was never one day when Alex Smith had a chance to win it back. So, I personally think that would be a great thing for the 49ers if there was legit competition. And whether it's Gabbert or Kaepernick, the guy that competes and wins that contest is the guy that starts a quarterback, because it hasn't happened around this franchise for a long time.
Ted, I follow the team very closely. You follow it more closely than I do. So I respect your opinion and know that you have more knowledge on it. But I have seen Kaepernick be great. I have seen him go to three straight NFC championship games. I've seen him go to the Super Bowl. He had first and goal to win the Super Bowl against the Ravens. I've never seen Blaine Gabbert do any of that. So while I agree that Kaepernick was awful last year, I've at least seen Kaepernick be great. I've never seen Blaine Gabbert be great.
Yeah. Kaepernick went to two NFC championship games. And unfortunately for the 49ers, that second championship game in Seattle, the first three quarters, where I think Colin played really well enough to win that championship game for three quarters, was really the last time we saw him play well. I didn't think he had a good game in 2014, and last year was just a complete loss. So, that's the problem, is that where is the Kaepernick? Where is that? Now, look, there's a lot of conversation which is easy for all of us to say that, wow, Chip Kelly's offense is going to be great for Colin Kaepernick. At some point, and you know this better than anybody, so I don't want to sound like I'm lecturing because, gosh, that's not what I mean to do. But we all know at some point you have to throw the ball where it's supposed to be thrown. And Colin hasn't done that. And I hope to goodness, because we all know how incredibly strong he is, how great his arm is, if he can ever discover the ability to throw the ball where it's supposed to be thrown, we'd have a whole different conversation going on there. We'd be talking about NFC championships again.
When you think about Colin and Blaine, in your opinion, Ted, do you think that they have enough weapons to be successful? Because Blaine, Nick, last year didn't necessarily light it on fire as well. But yeah. Do you think they have enough weapons, in your opinion, around them to be successful this year?
They have weapons to be better.
Okay.
I mean, successful is – that's, you know, and I guess that would depend on what our definition is, right?
Sure, sure.
They have weapons to be better. And look, Colin last year played, you know, when Kaepernick played, Carlos Hyde was on the field. When Gabb played, it was running back of the week, right?
Right.
I mean, that's other things we have to remember. Vernon Davis was playing when Kaepernick was there. It was, tight ends were all banged up and hurt by the time Gabbert played. Blaine Gabbert played with a lot of lesser accomplished players in the second half of the season. So, but I'll say this for Colin last year. There's no question to me that Colin was hurt by the team's inability to have the offensive line set. That when he was going to the line of scrimmage the first half of the year and he saw the center and the right guard positions, he got a little jumpy, and I don't blame him one bit. So that's not on Colin. That to me is on the organization, and they have to make sure that the offensive line is better set this year. That's quite honestly was a problem in 2014 too, for different reasons. Yupati got hurt, you remember, in the championship game, and Alex Boone held out, and the offensive line wasn't very good in 2014 until the tail end of the season. So they have to fix that. But I got to say this to final. Back to your question, there's enough weapons with Chip Kelly's coaching to think they're going to score more points. They should score more points. The offense has to be better than it was last year. Now, how much better? That's a much deeper reach. And do they have enough? Look, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to sit here and fool anyone and say there's enough talent there to think this is going to be a playoff contender this year. What they need to be first is more competitive, and especially more competitive on offense.
He's on Twitter at Ted J. Robinson. You hear him all over the place. Voice of the 49ers with the Pac-12 Network, NBC, and the Tennis Channel. Hey, Ted, we always enjoy talking football with you. Enjoy the Olympics. We'll talk football with you again soon.
Great. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have fun in Brazil.
All right, thanks.
I would have fun in Brazil.
You been to Brazil?
No, but I'm saying I would have fun there if I went.
Why would you have fun?
Jacob,
because you would rap? Or,
Jacob with the women, long hair, Thor over there, he would have fun in Brazil, too.
The women would love to hear you rap because you got him in the bathtub when you rap. That's pretty cool.
Okay,
that's,
go ahead and watch the
video.
Yeah,
you got to see the video.
I got to see the video next.
It's classic. He's rapping. He's got women in the bathtub. He's flowing. He's got his shades on. They're pulling him out of hall. Yeah, it's the video's got swag. By the way,
Chad, put this thing back on the track, man.
Swag, dog.
No, I like
Thank
this.
You. I
like...
I appreciate
I'm
it.
Giving you
it's not me, though. It's just somebody that looks like me.
We are going to visit
Doppelganger.
No,
the
we're
rap
not.
Song, Lowe's Freestyle,
no,
and
not,
my
Chad.
Karaoke at 9:15.
Absolutely.
We're not, but okay.
Now, Lowe, it sounds like Ted, after hearing Ted and you guys this morning talking about the 49ers, I mean, is this anything but a rebuilding year? I mean, we're talking about who's going to play quarterback or whatever, but really,
it's not. It's all it is. You're right. It's a rebuilding year. It's where this is a year where Chip Kelly has to really push the button. He's got to be innovative, creative, but he needs to kill these guys. This is a year where you find out who. This is kind of like when Pete Carroll took over in Seattle, where he just ran the guys in and out, but he wanted to see what kind of guys that had the toughness. That's what this Chip Kelly team. This is going to be a young man's team. He has to get young talent. He has to get the young talent to get guys to buy in the way that he coaches, the up speed, the tempo. This is not.
He doesn't have young talent.
Well, that's what I'm just. But that's where he's going to move to. Mark my words.
That's why I'm looking at Trent Baalke, Mr. Executive of the Year in 2012, with a lot of decisions that were not his. That's the guy that should have been getting grinded and grilled like Reggie McKenzie was throughout the past 3 or 4 years. Baalke has not had a good draft. We'll see what happens this year. He has not had a great draft in 6 years, 4 years. 2012, he got the Executive of the Year. He's been terrible since. AJ Jenkins, everybody down the line. People that he drafted that couldn't even play that year, thinking that his team was so good. Trent Baalke has got to be on the hot seat more than Chip Kelly. I could see him going before Chip Kelly, true or false.
That's possible.
Okay.
True.
I just don't hear anybody grilling Balky, and it blows my mind.
So I see what you're saying, Lowell. This season for Chip Kelly is critical because he can weed out all the quote-unquote non-chip guys.
Non-chip guys.
That's so he's got to find guys who are going to fight for him, his belief system.
What do you think Hugh Jackson's doing there down there?
Same thing.
Same thing. When you're a coach, you've seen what Dennis Allen did. Dennis Allen ran all those guys out of here. He was trying to find his guys. But unfortunately, Dennis wasn't a good coach, a good head coach. He treated men, didn't treat men well, and he lost the team. And it wasn't that he didn't know X's and O's, but when you're a dictator and you don't, and you can dictate, when you are a dictator, it only lasts for so long when you're dealing with men. You can rule by fear.
It grinds on them, right?
You can rule by fear.
Over
so
a period
long.
Of time, yeah.
Wears them down.
Yeah.
Guys finally stand up because it's not that you can whoop them. So you got to make sure that you, when you lead, it can't just be by fear. It's got to be by understanding.
Substance, right?
No question.
If you don't believe in the coach, you're not going to play for
him. You lose him.
Yeah.
So Chip's got a free reign. And this year, I think you're going to see Chip really, really beat up a lot of guys. It's going to be a physical team. It's going to be a team that he needs to go younger because his type of offense, it's a young man's offense.
So this season isn't necessarily about wins and losses.
No, it's to find out what kind of character he wants, what type of guys that can fit his system. And that's why you've seen this team want so many young drafts, why they wanted so many draft picks, because of the fact they need to establish a young team and have guys that's going to buy into Chip Kelly's regime and his way of coaching.
What's the most amount of wins that you can see the Niners getting next year?
Max four.
Best case scenario.
Mac, what did they win last year? Three?
Five.
It's going to be hard to get five. I think the schedule's tougher this year.
Well, we're talking
they
about
have
Gabbert.
The hardest schedule in the league.
We're talking about Gabbert, but couldn't this very well be a season where towards the end of the year we see Driscoll slide in and get some starts?
Why wouldn't
or get
you?
Some reps?
Oh, look at you spicing up the pot.
No, he's right. If Collins going to be,
know what you got.
If
he's I haven't
be,
thought about it.
If he's going to be bubble wrap, I don't think it's the end of the year. If you're gonna bubble wrap Colin, you could see Driscoll as soon as week five, week six. If Colin's bubble wrap, I think you see him earlier than the end of the year.
And if the team's 1-5, not competitive,
yeah,
then you can make the shift earlier. Then
absolutely, Blaine still could be your backup.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
at least you know what you got. Get
absolutely.
Driscoll in there and see what you got.
Absolutely.
As you're continuing to try and weed out some of the older players, and you find the chip guys.
I wouldn't be surprised if Driscoll doesn't start a preseason game. He will.
Raider fans, we'll get the latest on the AFC West. Are the Raiders, are they poised to make a move in the division? We've got Lincoln Kennedy. He's coming up at 8:30. It's 8:14, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Are the expectations on the Raiders too high? Former Raiders great Lincoln Kennedy joins us coming up at 8:30. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
Go, Zach. Go, Zach. Go, Zachy. Go, Zachy. Give me the rap, Zach. Here we go. Here
got
we go.
For you. DJ
One,
Quick,
two,
though,
three.
In the house.
Huh?
Little shout out to DJ Quick.
What?
It's DJ Quick right
I said, fee, fi, foam, foam. I think your rap is very dumb.
Oh!
Burn.
Okay. Get some.
That was pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm just saying.
Zach, are you?
He's scared. He's scared, dude. He's scared. Hey, Chad.
I didn't see the fee, fi, fo, fum coming. That was pretty good.
He just, he said he can't freestyle. He's got to already have it written
out. I don't rap for free. Yeah, I write my stuff down like a poet.
Didn't even
know. Not that I rapped. If I rapped, that's what I would do. That's what I should have said.
What's that line again?
Move on, Chaz. Move on.
It's not a rap if you're not getting paid?
Yes. E-40 once famously said, I'm not a freestyle. Don't rap for free, man. It's peace style on mine because I love money, man. You don't rap for free. That's why you don't freestyle.
Pull out your wallet. Let me see how much money you got in there since you've been making all that big money rapping.
Probably like $120.
Okay, then you've been doing it. I ain't mad.
I paid for the drinks when we went to the bar. Fact.
We're going to get a chance to hear low freestyle, my man Zach rap, and we'll put that up against my karaoke Hall & Oates to see who wins. We're doing that at 9:15.
You keep teasing that. Don't play my stuff. I don't think that we have I don't think anybody knows how to get it.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Got an hour.
Little
thing called Google.
Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. Zach in for Joe today is Chad, Joe, and Lowe. Thank you so much for your time on this Tuesday. So, Lowe, I'm going to come to you on this, and something you've talked about recently on the show is athletes using their platform, their position, their situation to speak to the masses, to people out there on different types of social issues. And, of course, we've had a number of troubling shootings in our recent history here as a country. And one of the Browns running backs, Isaiah Crowell, took to Instagram and put up a post, which he quickly deleted, which, of course, was retrieved. And it's a picture of a police officer who is being beheaded by what looks to be a terrorist of sorts. And underneath that, the caption that he wrote said, "They give the police all types of weapons, and they continuously choose to kill us. Hashtag weak." Mm. You've seen the post. What are your thoughts on the way Crowell went about expressing himself here?
It's tough, man. Crowell went about this all wrong. There's kids and there's people that follow you. And I understand there's a lot of things going on, and it's horrible what we're living in, the world that social networking, all the different things. I was watching Jamie Foxx last night, and Jamie Foxx had something was profound. He said, "An eye for an eye," and he said, "If you do that," he said, "we're all blind." And I was like, wow, it's a biblical verse he's talking about. But I think everyone's trying to talk about the crime and people's physical reactions, things they're doing, the shootings and racism and all these physical actions where it's causing crime or something happened. Everyone's trying to, then you want to punish the crime or punish the people. But see, until people can realize there's an emotional and spiritual connection to these individuals. See, what happens, people don't emotionally or spiritually, they're already acting it out. The process has already gone by through their mind. So now you see people acting out these things, and they're like, oh, well, what's wrong with that? Well, emotional and spiritually, there's a disconnect. When you see officers doing certain things, where not all of them, but it's not even the majority of them. And it's the one percenters. And I was talking to my buddy yesterday, Sean, who's a police chief and down in Fresno, who's a sheriff. And I said, now officers understand, because he's a man of color, black guy, and he played at UCLA, basketball, baseball, did it all. Great athlete. And I said, now officers get to understand how some of us as blacks, when we see certain guys do certain crimes, and everyone want to say those guys, those individuals, those people. And that's a minute number, but everyone's getting grouped in that group. And now officers get to understand it's such a small number that it's happened, but everyone's saying those officers, all the officers. Now they're threatened for their lives. I know good officers that are down there now. They're like, man, it's tough because now they're on their toes. People don't trust them. There is a huge hatred. There is a huge shift. And right now our country needs to come together. And when you see athletes, when we have that platform, just like you've seen Grimes' wife, now you see Carell coming out and doing this. When you have a platform to help and try to help a situation, instead of sending things like with the death, you have an opportunity to speak life. You have an opportunity to help change the way that youth and everyone else is viewing officers and doing another thing. There is a huge disconnect, and officers understand that. And police officers, I challenge certain guys in the community. I'm like, look. They're asking me, hey, what would you do? I would have officers from kindergarten to third grade. They should spend an hour a day paid, wear their uniform on campuses with kindergarten to third grade. Kids grow. They are the most influenced from these kindergarten to fifth grade. If you have that and officers intermingling and teaching classes for an hour, and whether it's PE class, doing something. Because half a lot of these kids that are great grow up, they end up hating cops. There can be in an area, and an officer can come to a certain area, and the kids will take off running because even if they didn't do anything wrong, because the parents and certain people have put a negative connotation in their mind about officers. And now you have the officers that are seeing certain things about these individuals when they grow up. So both parties, when they meet, they're already set up to fail because the perception of the officer, what he thinks about how a thug should act and what they believe. So his perception's going in already cautious. And then when that thug, whoever, his perception is how they kill and all this other thing. So it's doomed before it even starts. So until we as a country can fundamentally go in and say officers need to be in these inner cities and they need to be teaching students and playing at recess with students, you are going to continue to have this problem because there's a huge disconnect, Chad.
I see what you're saying. Start young with the kids to change the entire perception of the police.
No question.
Do you think if you were a player?
But have the cops change the perception of these young kids that's going to one day grow up because their parents have taught certain parents, or maybe it's not their parents, yeah. maybe someone in their family, say, when you see the popo, you run. And kids are running from them. And they didn't even do anything wrong because they've been taught this, Anna.
No, that's great. That's a great point. That's a great idea. It helped both sides.
Both sides.
And my father, God rest his soul, would be so disappointed that we're still dealing with these issues mm-hmm. in 2016. And ultimately, everybody that's dying is innocent. Whether it's an innocent black person that was not detained properly or a cop that had nothing to do with those killings, everybody dying is innocent. And it's a damn shame. And honestly, my mind is blown that in 2016, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, all the things that we've gone through, racism, everything that's brought us to this point, and we're still dealing with this. A race war in 2016. The whole thing, it's a damn shame. I kind of understand why he posted that. I also understand why it was horrible for him to post it. But either way, how the hell are we still dealing with this?
The picture was terrible. The picture was absolutely terrible.
It's awful, but I also understand the anger on their end of innocent black people dying and why he posted it. I'm not saying he should have. What I'm saying is it's just terrible that we're dealing with it at all.
Hey, Lo, if you were
in 2016,
if you were a player, if you were just starting out your career today, do you see yourself as a player that you use social media as a way to communicate some of your deeper thoughts on social issues?
Absolutely. I think if you're a leader, you got to be able to stand for something, because if you're a true leader, you're not going to be loved by everyone. But if coming out like this, this has no leadership. When Carl's with him sending this picture, and it's out here where, you know, he's got a guy with a hood cutting his officer. That's not leadership. And to your point, Zachariah, you might say you understand.
So he took it the easy way.
He took away anger. That it's an anger. But is this the way? And you say, well, I understand. I don't understand, because now you're talking about the masses. That's no different than when I, as a black man, or I'm walking with some of my buddies that are successful, black, it doesn't matter whether, and even if they're just working a garbage guy, it doesn't mean he's successful in his own right. Money doesn't make you successful. So that's the perception that people have to get out of their mind. Because if I work at McDonald's and I'm a law-abiding citizen, I pay my taxes, and now I'm a manager and I'm managing McDonald's, and I still live in a not a great area, but I still, my house is being paid for, I'm a productive person in society. And if you see another guy that's thugging and doing all those things bad, and that's the perception, how you don't want people to view you like that because you live in the same neighborhood.
There are better ways to do it.
Absolutely.
There are better ways to handle it.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Zach, Lo. We got more on this coming up in 1 hour. We will talk more football next. The Raiders, are they set to make a massive leap, a jump in the AFC West? Lincoln Kennedy's up next. 827, Chad, Joe, and Lo, 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss San Francisco Giants second baseman Joe Panik coming up at 11:30. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game.
831. When this guy comes on the show, that means football's right around the corner. Former Raider great, a Pac-12 network analyst. Very happy to be joined by Lincoln Kennedy, joining Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game. Link, long time no chat. How are you?
Wonderful, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, very well. We're excited about football season, and always nice to have you on the show. Now,
I appreciate it.
I don't think I'm out of line here, but when I look at the Raiders with Derek Carr, with the additions they've had on both sides of the ball, I think this team's ready to make that leap forward and recapture the AFC West. If that's going to happen, what's one or two major areas where they've got to improve, Link?
Well, one thing you got to have is consistency with the running game, first and foremost, because you have to have balance. You can't put all the pressure on Derek Carr, even though he's shown himself to be a good quarterback. I think at times last year we saw, especially in the Tennessee game, if the pressure's on him to make a play, he might try to force it. And in his young career, I've seen it a couple of times. I remember specifically San Diego a couple of years back where, you know, they had a chance and he threw a fourth quarter interception. Tennessee, they were bailed out by a penalty last year. So the thing is, you don't want to put that much pressure on your young quarterback. You want to have balance. You want to have go-tos. You want to have other options offensively. Defensively, it's a matter of taking the next step. Last year, they had a very high pressure package where they had the blitz a lot of times, which left their secondary exposed in a lot of ways. What they're trying to duplicate is some of the success that the Seahawks have had over the last couple of years, where you're able to rush four, have a strong rush of four, and you could drop back and have seven. And Denver did that last year with their defense, seven in coverage. So that would be another thing. Generate a rush and, of course, have a better, more balanced attack on offense.
Link, if this team is to get where they want to go, And if Carr doesn't turn the ball over, like you say, and give that defense a short field and doesn't help his defense out, and if they score 21 and Carr is efficient, how good can this defense be and how far can they go?
Well, I think the sky's the limit. The only time will tell. I'm looking at this team being more practical and realistic. I believe they are a playoff-bound team. I believe they're a wild card-bound team. I don't believe that. I'm not going to give them a nod to say they can win the division. Even though the division is somewhat down, there's a transition in Denver, they still have a notable defense. Kansas City is always dangerous. You never know what you're going to get out of San Diego. So I'm not going to be so far to say they're going to win the division. More practical and realistic is that this is a playoff-bound team. This is a 9-win team, possibly a 10-win team. To me, that puts you in the wild card.
Big Link, it's All League Z. What's
all
up?
All League Z, what's happening, Captain?
What's up, baby? The last time the Warriors, the Raiders were in the playoffs, who was on that team, Link?
A lot of guys. Yeah, guys like
You, Link. Link, you were on the team the last time the Raiders.
Take that out your mouth, man. Come on, Link got you. Go ahead, Link. Just tell him, Link.
I can't with Lo'Neal. I get along so much better with you, Link. Anyways, the point being, what is the black hole like? What is Raider Nation like when the team is successful, you being the last time the Raiders were successful?
Well, it was the hottest party in the Bay. I mean, no doubt about it, once upon a time. But I think you have that euphoria, that enthusiasm this year. I mean, I got the stat the other day that this is the first time in the Raiders' history they ever sold out season tickets. It means the people are coming. The Raider Nation is coming. So even though the organization is there's a lot of uncertainty about its future, where it's going to land. You know, I know Mark Davis well enough to know that he would say, this year we're the Oakland Raiders, and let's celebrate and go out there and play some football and win some games. So the Raider Nation is going to show up no matter where they are and who they're with. There's a lot of enthusiasm about this team. There's a lot of hype and a lot of excitement. I can't wait to see them put the pads on and do it for real.
We're talking with former Raider great Lincoln Kennedy with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
Link, we talked about the running back position. I'm in agreement with you. I believe that Latavius, he's a game changer, big play running back. A guy runs a little high, though, not necessarily a chain mover. If they can get that problem solidified to you, or to get a chain mover, a guy that can get to 3 to 4 yards in a cloud of dust, what would that do for this offense, and how would that make this team a lot better?
Well, I definitely know what they've been trying to create is a running back by committee. And you know as well as I do, Lowe, there are many teams that have to do it. It long gone, to me, are the years where you had one guy who was back there carrying it for all 3 downs, including short yardage. So they need running back by committee. More importantly, because Latavius has had some issues with injuries, they got to have depth at the position. So I think that's why they went out and did what they did this year, not only with the draft, but you talk about just the recent moves. They're trying to shake things up. More importantly, because I see that, there are a number of teams that are going with the whole 34 defense. Well, the thing about the 34 defense when it comes to covering running backs is a lot of times you'll have a running back isolated on a back. And if you had a scat back, for example, or a back who was capable of catching out of the backfield, then I definitely think this is something that bodes well for the team. And this is something that really helps the team. And I think that's what the Raiders are also looking for by some of the moves they made.
We're talking with Lincoln Kennedy, who is also with the Pac-12 Network. And both the Pac-12 Network and Pac-12 Bay Area will televise the 2016 Media Day, Thursday 9-1 and Friday 9:30-1. Hey, Link, when it comes to Cal, they didn't really have an answer coming out of spring ball, but who do they have to replace Jared Goff at quarterback?
Well, that's still a big question, right?
Oh, my
Sonny
goodness.
Dykes has been reeling trying to find himself a quarterback. Everyone knows in the game if you have a quarterback, you have a chance. I think so, this more so for the Pac-12 collectively as a conference, because so many guys have stepped aside. This is going to be the year of the running back, which should really put a smile on Lowe's face. The fact is there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to rely on the running game. You're going to see it get back to good old-fashioned basics football, where you're not trying to toss it around so much because you don't have that prolific passer. You're going to have to run it and keep your defense off the field and play stingy football. So I do believe places like Cal, places like Arizona State, we'll see what happens up in Oregon. They're going to be relying heavy on their running game rather than trying to throw it from sideline to sideline.
All right, with Stanford, some change at quarterback, but they're loaded everywhere else. What are the chances they win the Pac-12 and get into a playoff?
Christian McCaffrey.
Is he going to win the Heisman? Do you think he's got a legit Heisman chance this year?
I think if he duplicates the year that he had last year, without a doubt, he's a walk away with the Heisman. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. But, the thing is that we can always speculate on what we saw last year. And, of course, only time will tell how these things go, or what, you know, the offensive line he has in front of him, how they change up the offense, or how the defenses are geared to him. So we'll see. But I think he's a big part of their success or their failure.
He's one of the all-time greats at the University of Washington, former Raider great, now with the Pac-12 Network. You hear him on 95.7 The Game. Lincoln Kennedy with Chad Joinlow on 95.7 The Game. Link, thank you. We love talking football with you, and we'll be catching up soon.
Always, guys. The pleasure's mine.
Tell him how many dogs you ate, Link.
Oh, what? You
come on,
here?
Man. Washington record.
Big League Z, come on. You're tossing that out,
my
man.
Bad. I should have done
you see that.
That.
Told you, Link. You hate him. You
why
see
you
that
disrespecting
dog?
Link CID like that, Link?
Me and Link are cool. Like, that's what you guys don't get. Like this is my dude. I like him more than you two combined. All right. Is he gone? That was weird. That was awkward. Was super awkward with him being gone.
Well, that was because it wasn't very nice.
I do like him more than you guys combined, though. Like, he's nice to me.
We love you, though.
Anna was cool to me yesterday, not today.
Well, who do you like
How
more?
How am I not cool to you today?
Still like Jacob.
Who do you like more between Lo and I?
I could be done with Commander Cody. Oh, you way more than Lo. Me and Lo are done. We had a good thing going. I went to the bar with him one time. He was famous. People knew him. He was serenading women for me. I mean, it was fantastic. And now he's Mr. Mean Guy.
Hey,
he told me, though.
Don't rip on
Lo
in front of me now.
Thank you.
You always get his back.
Yep.
He told me in the break, though, it's because Joe's not here, so he's taking out all the aggression built up over however long you guys have been doing it, and you're taking it out on me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I have seen that. Yeah. Joe will verbally beat Lo down, and every once in a while he's got to let off that steam.
Well, yeah. It's all coming on me.
It is. I'm sorry. See, it's blaming Joe.
But at the same time, you do bring some of it on yourself, too.
Do I?
Now, I thought a couple of Lo's comments were inappropriate when you're trying to have a conversation with Lincoln, he's interrupting. But aside from that, I'm on Lo's side with this.
Okay. I'm sure you would be. I mean, he's your teammate. You're Link, not mine. So
Link was doing a nice job of making you sound important when he was coming on the radio because he's a pro.
Link
right.
loves me. No, because he loves me.
He was doing all
Most
this
Most people
holler.
Love me.
Link, Link, it's ever fun.
Of all like, the people that hate me,
you were doing too
name
much.
One thing that I've done to anybody.
But you did
name
too,
one
right.
thing that I've done to anybody.
Right. Okay. He did a little much, didn't he, though?
No, because Link loves me. If you called Link right now, he would say, I love Zachariah.
It came off like a jock sniff.
Right.
I'm just saying.
He calls me All League Z.
Oh, so he calls you
because I was first team all league and who?
You guys talk on the phone?
Who won the free throw contest?
You guys talk a lot on the phone?
Move on,
Chad. That showed up in the
who won the
truck.
Free throw contest?
The guy that showed up in the delivery
Out of
truck.
The people that work on 95.7 The Game, who won the free throw contest?
You did.
Thank you.
Does Link call you
About
guys,
time I got credit for that. I texted Jacob that you guys didn't give me any love on that.
Do you guys talk a lot, you and Link?
Well,
on
that guy
home?
Did
yeah,
show up in
we
a
do.
Delivery
we text
truck.
Each other.
10 minutes later, walking
We are true friend, true friends. I'm done with you guys. How much more time do we have? An hour and 15 minutes? All right,
Lo,
I'll make
it.
I love
when he says he's done, and then he rambles on for
right,
five more
he
minutes.
He can't help it.
All right, I'm actually done now.
Yeah, he shut his mic off. Zach is officially done.
Zach!
Well, the baseball, well, All-Star game tonight, 5 o'clock. It's going to be on Fox. But the bigger question for you baseball fans, and you can chime in at 888-957-9570. Do you want this game to result in home field advantage for either the American League or the National League? I'm going to put that question to you next. 841, Chad, Joe and Lo, 95.7 The Game.
What are the second half expectations for the San Francisco Giants? Giants insider from CSN, Alex Pavlovich, joins us coming up at 9:30. Now, back to Chad, Joe and Lo on 95.7 The Game.
It's 844. Let's head over to the sports desk and bring in Anna. She's got today's 95.
She's got a bunch of good stuff.
Got knowledge for you guys.
95.7 The Game. Take your pick poll question brought to you by our great friends from FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet.
All right. So last night was a home run derby. Today, you've got the All-Star Game. So today's question, should the All-Star Game determine home field advantage in the World Series? All right, so there's two ways that you can vote and get involved with all of us here in the conversation. First off, go to 95.7thegame.com. There, 80% of the voters say no, the All-Star Game should not determine home field advantage in the World Series. Also, go to Twitter at 957thegame. There, 71% say no as well. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick. Let us know what you think. We'll read some of the best tweets later in the show.
All right, Zach, we'll start with you. Do you think the All-Star Game should result in home field advantage for either the NL or the AL?
I'd like to say that I'm surprised by the staggering numbers, the overwhelming responses saying that it should not. The bottom line is this. Do you care about the outcome of the game based on your favorite team? If you are a Reds fan or you are a Twins fan, neither of those teams are any good. But should you think there's a shot of you making the World Series, you will have home field advantage should you get there. So you're rooting for either the American League or the National League. And I think just by that, I'm not justifying the reasoning behind it, the logic behind it, any of that. But just that thing alone makes you root for a team, and it makes the game more important as opposed to the Pro Bowl, which people have been talking about taking out altogether, or the NBA All-Star game, which we all know is throwing basketballs off the backboard and dunking it.
So Giant fans not only tuning in tonight to be able to see Buster Posey or Johnny Cueto start the game, but most importantly, because they know in the back of their mind,
you're damn right,
get this game, and then we can look forward to the World Series.
There is not one Giants fan listening right now that is not telling me that they're not rooting for the National League tonight. And that on itself makes it important.
All right, Lo, where do you come out in this? Should the All-Star game determine home field advantage in the World Series?
No. No. Zach, he means well. He's a good young man. Love the guy.
Thanks, Lo.
Cheap shots all over the place.
He's my bad.
Fact.
I love Zach, man. He's a great man. I just love busting your chops, Zach. I understand, and you're right that the guys that are playing that have a chance to make it to the playoffs, yeah, they want playoffs. They want home field, but I don't think it's they're, oh my God, if we don't win this, we're going to. No, players really don't care.
So you lose an All-Star game, you don't give it a second thought.
No. No. But at the time, they want to win, but it's not. It's really not pressing. You look at the home run derby; it's probably get better ratings in the game. I mean, so guys are really not getting coaches and some skippers. They're not really going to coach it. It's to have a good time. You're being rewarded. That's what the All-Star game is. That's why you see it in NBA, any sport. Guys are not going all out because you're being rewarded for this game. So I don't think that it should be. I think they got it wrong.
I think for me, 162 games should be a long season.
That should determine it, right?
There's a lot of ground cover that goes into winning a pennant or putting yourself in position to win the NL West. The Giants right now are playing great baseball. I just think that over the course of 162 games, that should determine who gets home field World Series. I agree with Zach that the All-Star game has intrigue because the winner ultimately will determine the
home
field.
And that's all I'm saying.
Yes.
The logistics of it, I agree with you, is stupid. It should be about what your record is.
I agree.
But it makes it more interesting.
What's the point of 162 games? Anna, where do you come out on this?
Yeah, it is interesting how baseball is the only All-Star game that people actually pay attention to and players actually somewhat care about because, like, you know, Buster Posey, I think, was one of the players that said yesterday, yeah, this kind of matters when it comes to if we get into the World Series, if we have home field advantage. The problem is, it's also not managed like it matters. So you have, you know, you're going to have your starting pitchers. You have Cueto and Sale going out tonight, what, for maybe one, two innings?
Yeah, and you'd have Cueto go eight innings dealing.
He'd go complete game, no problem.
It's true.
But it's not managed like that. Right now, it is more of a showcase. So it's not managed like it matters. So it shouldn't determine who should have home field advantage in the World Series. It should go by record. Now, you can let us know what you think. Go 957thegame.com. Polls on the right-hand side of the page. Also, go to Twitter at 957thegame. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick. Let us know what you think. By the way, did anybody watch the celebrity softball game at all last night?
Yeah.
You did, right?
Yeah, it was funny.
Did you see Terry Crews taking off his shirt right before he went up to bat?
It was the best. Chad, you got to watch it. He
it
takes
awesome.
Off his shirt off. He's making his chest. You know how he does his chest, making it pop, and he's grinding at the crowd. Everyone's going crazy. Takes his shirt and you just watch him go up to the bat and he gets a little look. Everyone thinks he's going to go yard. He swung the bat like old people make love.
Terrible swing.
Horrible. You got to watch it.
Don't judge old people making love.
It was bad. You got to see it.
Standing up for old people getting it on.
I will say though, Lo, after that, do you think you could swing better? I know you're going next week to do batting practice with the A's.
With one hand, I could swing better.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Make sure.
He played football. He does not look like an athlete.
Wait, did I miss out on something? He's doing batting practice with the A's?
With the A's next Monday.
Yeah.
Really?
How cool is that?
Yeah. Batting practice.
That's what happens when you're in the
Monday,
league for a long time, huh?
The A's.
I didn't get that invite from the Oakland A's.
Well, holla at your boy.
I still recommend going out to the batting cages. Maybe
Anna,
just a little warm-up swing.
Anna, if you go I'll out there and you teach me, I'm in, Anna. As long as I get to hang
Love
out with
batting
you.
Cages.
Okay, let's do this.
Fun.
I stand by my stance that it makes it more important, but
we know you do.
Okay, but the other part of the argument is that it's already the best All-Star game because baseball is the hardest game to fake. In football, you cannot block. You cannot rush the quarterback. In basketball, you cannot defend. In baseball, it's hard to not throw a fastball or not hit a fastball. So it's the All-Star game that needs ramifications the least. Like, it would make the Pro Bowl better because maybe people would play harder and you would care about it more if the Super Bowl, well, there's not home field advantage in that. Basketball.
The other thing is, though, baseball is such a regional sport that you don't get to watch all these games throughout the year and see all these players. So it's also a showcase to show, you know, to show basically the entire, you know, all of the MLB fans or just anybody who some of these other players are. Not everybody can watch, you know, Anthony Rizzo with the Cubs all the time. You'll see him here and there at games. Like, you see a lot of Giants fans watching him when he comes to play the Giants here in San Francisco, but they don't always get to see him at his best, so it's an opportunity for them to see him.
8:51, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. The All-Star Game tonight is at 5. You can catch it on Fox. Johnny Cueto will get the start for the Giants tonight for the National League. How awesome is that? Now, we do want to play this for you. He participated in the Home Run Derby last night. He's one of the Padres, and he's an All-Star. Will Myers. Well, he was being interviewed before his performance in the Home Run Derby last night, and he had this to say when asked about East Coast versus West Coast Mexican food. Take a listen to Will Myers.
What about Mexican food? Have you taken up like an affinity for that? Oh, my God. You love Chipotle.
I do like Chipotle. I've said this on a couple occasions, and people get really mad at me. I enjoy East Coast Mexican food a little better. Yeah, wow. I grew up on it. That's just what that's just what my taste is. But you know, there's nothing wrong with San Diego Mexican food. So
that's Will Myers, ooh, San Diego Padre, talking about East Coast Mexican food being better than West Coast.
Will, go to hell, Will. Oh my God.
Blasphemy.
Seriously.
Oh my God. I played in New York, played with the Jets, played in Tampa. Tex-Mex. That's the Mexican food. It's horrible. I mean, shoot. California, best Mexican food. I mean, you got to realize it's out there. It's from San Diego. You got the taco. You don't go to the East Coast and see a bunch of taco trucks, man. I'm just telling you, man.
I don't go to New York and say, I'm going to go get a quesadilla.
It reminds me of that Pace Picante sauce commercial, the old school ones where the Cowboys are sitting around the fire.
New York City.
And they're like, where'd you get this Picante sauce? I don't know, New York or something. He looks at the label. He's like, New York City, get a rope.
Right, exactly. I mean,
Kick rocks.
I mean, you got to realize the Central Valley does over $75 billion with the B in agriculture a year.
Wow.
So you're talking about all the fresh lettuce, the jalapenos, and all the different things.
It's closer to Mexico.
Avocado. Yeah, and everything. You get the salsa, the different things. The bondegas, the menudo. I mean, this is it.
It's
called Fresno. Why is it called San Francisco? Because this used to be Mexico. Come on. Merced,
where did the
Madeira.
Come from?
Think about it. It's called Hiron.
Los Angeles.
San Diego. This used to be all be Mexico. This is the best place. What is Will Myers thinking?
I don't know where this Mexican accent came from.
Why did she say hello to my little friend?
I'm loving it. Please keep going. I feel like you're going to turn into Scarface.
Exactly.
Go Scarface on him.
Well, you know what's weird is, like, I'm thinking back to all the different times people have told me about where to get the best Mexican food.
Was it New York?
When was the last time anyone directed you to the East Coast?
Thank
Mexican
you.
Food?
No.
It reminds me of Italian pizza. And I'm Italian, okay? Mother.
Okay.
Italian.
Okay, talk to us. Talk to us.
Italian pizza is not good. I mean, it's just really not that good. And, like, I mean, for him to say that, where did he go on the East Coast with
Tex-Mex.
A Mexican? You think?
I don't know. I'm just.
It's like fast food.
Right.
It's crazy. And he plays for the Padres. You are literally right next to Mexico. And you said that East Coast Mexican food is better than, I mean.
Have you ever been to Old Town in San Diego?
Yeah, look.
Oh, God. Yeah. They make the tortillas right in the window. It's so authentic.
Where is this accent coming from?
I want to go.
Has this come out before, Chaz?
Every day is a new day.
Something new? Okay.
But, Lo, where's the best spot down in San Diego when you're playing with the Chargers?
Yeah, Mr. Charger.
I absolutely love Old Town. And I would go just Old Town. And I forget the name. It's right there in the window. You walk down the street and they get the fresh taco, the shells, and they're freaking patting. You see the ladies, the old Spanish ladies in there, and they're making the tortillas and the chips are all fresh.
I'm hungry now.
And the fresh guacamole. Oof. And they squeeze the lime in it and they get the chili flakes. It is so amazing. Mm. Get the carne asada burrito. I mean, it's just so amazing, bro.
How many bars was in that?
Yeah, go down to Old Town, bro, in Mexico.
More than Cacaraquis.
You'll love it. Oh, man, you'll love it. So I don't know what Will's thinking, bro. We need to help him.
Flag on Will, man.
Yeah, flag on Phil.
First and 25 for Will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now take a listen to this one more time. Will Myers commenting on East Coast versus West Coast. See, the big red flag immediately for me was he mentioned Chipotle. I love Chipotle, but who mentions that first when they're talking about great Mexican food?
Nobody ever.
What about Mexican food? Have you taken up like an affinity for that? Oh my God, you love Chipotle.
I do like Chipotle. I've said this on a couple occasions and people get really mad at me.
They should.
I enjoy East Coast Mexican food a little better. I grew up on it. That's just what my taste is. But you know, there's nothing wrong with San Diego Mexican food. So
I figured it out. He went to Chipotle in the West Coast and Chipotle in the East Coast. That's what it was. That's all it was. He didn't. He couldn't have obviously gone to a real
AKA
Mexican food.
He's never had actual Mexican food.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
No,
that has to be it.
Good. That's good, Anna. Good answer, Anna.
No, they are.
No, you,
I don't know.
You figured it out. Because he doesn't know.
You're right. The smell of homemade tortillas being made is special.
In front of you, too.
And I don't like menudo, but I like the way it smells when it's being prepared. The Mexican soup.
And you put the onions in it. When you get really good menudo, they bring you a side plate with all the onions and cilantro and the things that you can just put inside of it, and it just gives it that flavor.
The rolling of the R's unbelievable right now. I hope everybody, I want all this audio cut up and sent to me.
Ay, 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 señor, tú es muy mala. Malo.
Mr. Charger.
¿Tú no hablas español?
No, no,
¿por qué
señor.
No?
No, señor.
¿Tú trabajas mucho? Sí, no hay preguntas.
The All-Star Game is coming up tonight, 5 o'clock, first pitch, you can catch it on Fox. We'll talk some basketball next. Harrison Barnes did not have a good year and was particularly bad in the playoffs. But are the Warriors to blame for his struggles? We'll tell you what we mean next. It's 8:57, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.